You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. The title of today's message is Remembering God. Every year, we as Americans, we celebrate on July 4th, we celebrate Independence Day. We celebrate our independence from Great Britain. We celebrate our liberation from tyranny. We usually celebrate it with hot dogs and hamburgers and blowing stuff up. That's my favorite part about the 4th of July. And you can celebrate the 4th of July however you want to celebrate it, right? You have the freedom to do that within the parameters of the law. But most importantly, it is a time to regularly, yearly, put before ourselves where we were at as a people and where we have come. And I think maybe the average American wouldn't say this is why they celebrate it, but truly it is partly because we want to remember where we've come from so we don't go back there again. It's a time of celebration of the nation that God has allowed us to live in, and for much of its history has blessed it, and blessed it, and blessed it again. God has been so good and faithful in our lives. We are prone to forget that. So just like we have holidays in our own life to remind us of where we've been brought from and as a nation, that it's a good idea as a people, as believers, to remember where God has brought us from. You see, we are prone to forgetfulness. As a song we sang earlier says, we are prone to wonder. You see, people of faith must remember and celebrate God's faithfulness, because truly He is a God worth celebrating. So look with me and, well, you know what, instead of reading, we'll read different parts of Joshua here in a second. So let's pray and then we'll get into the text. Father, thank You for today. Lord, I thank You for the songs, what we have sung to You and what we have sung to each other. Spur one another on to love and to good works. We sing songs to You because our hearts reflect the love and the gratefulness to You. Well, Father, we ask that You speak to us. Lord, I have no ability in my own strength to minister to hearts. But Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would go before me, would illuminate minds and hearts to obey Your will. Love You, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one, and we see that as believers, we are to remember for ourselves. Mainly we'll be looking in verses 5 through 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. But what are we to be remembering, and who is it? Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, and the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, command them, saying, take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, and he had appointed a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes, the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? And you shall tell them, the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So the stone shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. To remember the acts of God for ourselves. You see, God instructs Joshua to have 12 men gather 12 stones from the 12 different tribes and from the Jordan of River and from the Jordan River, and then he instructs them that God what God had told them to do. The stones are a sign to remember what the Lord had done. So the 12 men gathered the stones from the river, then put 12 stones in the Jordan where they were, in the actual Jordan River and where they were going to camp. See, Israel needed to remember that God got them across the river. They need to remember that God is the one who brought them to where they're at. See, God regularly instructed Israel to remember and celebrate all the feasts, all the ceremonies that God has. God's not just into rules and rituals for their own sake, but he knew that people, ancient people of Israel and modern people here in America, are prone to forget. And we are prone to forget the goodness of God. And so he said, Israel, do these feasts, do these ceremonies, and remember how I've worked in your life. Remember how I saved you. Remember how I chose you. Remember how I delivered you from Egypt. You remember these things. Because if you don't do these ceremonies, you will forget. And Israel would forget. Repeatedly and always, always, church, to their undoing. You see, forgetfulness led to self-reliance, which always leads to self-destruction. See, God would lead them somewhere, and then a generation would come, and another generation would come, and before you knew it, they would forget their God. And they'd start thinking, hey, maybe we can stand up against these enemies. Maybe we can take care of them ourselves. And so their self-reliance always led to their self-destruction. A lot of principles to pull from this chapter. Here's a couple of them. First of all, we need to remember who we are. Remember your position before God. See, circumstances cannot alter your position before God. When you've trusted Christ as your Savior, He has raised you up as His adopted son and daughter, and nothing and no one can shake it. Satan can't do it. You can't do it. Jobs can't change it. Locations can't change it. You are God's. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. You see, Israel forgot their past salvation. They forgot that it was God who delivered them from Egypt. It was God who provided for them in the wilderness. And it was God who had brought them back to the Jordan River once again. You remember, Christian, how God saved your soul. You remember how God delivered you from hell and how God delivered you from the power of sin. Do you remember that? Do you remember that day? Do you remember what has happened in your life since then? Israel forgot. If we're not careful, we forget. It leads to self-reliance, which leads to self-destruction. Robert Robinson wrote a hymn that we're familiar with because we just sang it a couple minutes ago, Come Thou Fount. And now that's got some archaic language that we're not familiar with nowadays, but it's worth kind of delving into because it is beautifully written. And part of that song, he says, I raise my Ebenezer, which is a word that we definitely don't use, at least not apart from Christmas, right? And so but it's based off of 1 Samuel chapter 7, where they had stones of remembrance. And in Samuel, they did a very similar thing to what Joshua and the Israelites are doing here. They set up stones to help them remember what God had done. So they raised their Ebenezer. We need to do that. We need to raise up stones of remembrance in our lives. Obviously not real stones, but markers to remember how God has saved us, cared for His people. But Robert Robinson also wrote in that song, in his hymn, it says, prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. You know what? That's exactly what happened to him. At least for a while, he had written this beautiful hymn and God had worked in him, but slowly but surely he began to drift away from the Lord and live in complete disobedience. And as the story goes, on a dreary London day, he got into a carriage on a Sunday morning with no intention to go to church, no intention to worship the God that he wrote so beautifully about. And a young lady was sharing that carriage with him, and she began singing that song that he had written. And she asked the man, who was a stranger to her, said, do you know this song? And this was Robert Robinson's response. He said, "Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago. I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy feelings I had then." He said that she responded by telling him, "Sir, streams of mercy are still flowing." You see, don't forget who you were before God intervened. Don't forget where God has brought you from. We set up these stones of remembrance. We raise these Ebenezers. We'll move away from self-reliance and reliance to our great God. So a principle, remember who you are, but remember who God is. See, God's unchanging nature is what brings Christians joy. Now, I'm going to use a word that theologians use, and I'm going to explain it, not so you'll think I'm impressive, because you'll know from the rest of the sermon that that's not true. But when you listen to this word, it speaks truly about God. We call God the immutable nature of God, which means that God is unchanging. That's why all throughout Scripture that God is compared to a rock, a fortress, a hard place, so that we can trust in Him, that in all the world ebbs and flows, and we shake, and our lives come with difficulties and easy times, but God does not move. And our joy is based on God's unchanging nature. See, if God has been faithful in the past, we can trust Him to be faithful with the future. Amen? If God has been faithful in the past and He doesn't change, then He's going to be faithful in the future. We can trust Him. We know as the sun that rises and falls every day, and we know after many years of astronomy that it was the sun that does not move, and it is the earth that circles around it. And every day we can trust the sun to do what the sun is supposed to do. You see, but in our lives we have light and darkness all the time, not because the sun has moved, but because the earth has rotated around it into darkness. Brother and sister, whenever you're in dark times caused by your own dark actions, recognize it's not caused by God's turning. It's caused by your turning. And here's the beautiful thing about God. Because He hasn't moved, all you have to do is turn back. The Bible says there is no shadow of turning in our great God. Remember, remind yourself how God has provided for you, how God has protected you, how God has comforted you, how God has led you, how your God has loved you. Regularly remind yourself of these truths, how God has cared for His children. Reminding of ourselves of these things combats pride and self-sufficiency. See, a remembering heart is a humble heart. A heart that is prideful and full of his own self-glory is a heart that has forgotten what God has done. A heart that says, "Hey, look what I've done. Look at the business that I've created. Look at my family. Look at the house I've bought." You've forgotten all the things that God has given. That God has given you the intellect. God has given you the ability to do that. God has given you your family. God has worked out circumstances every step of the way to protect and provide for you. How foolish is it when we take credit for ourselves, what God has given. And so when God has given us all these good things, and we have no other option but to say, praise God. We give you the glory, God. See, a remembering heart is a humble heart. Here's the next principle that we can get. See, we as a church, we need to replicate what you celebrate. Here's what I mean by that. We produce and reproduce what we care about. This is crucial in this church. I've talked about it many times in different small groups and different places, but we replicate what we celebrate. So if we want to do the things that God wants us to do, we've got to celebrate it. And so when God says, hey, I want you to make disciples, then we're going to celebrate it like you can't celebrate something else anywhere else, okay? And when people are saved, I want to celebrate it. When somebody's been a faithful volunteer, that's something that we want to celebrate. These are all things that God cares about. And so we want to value the things that God values. We want to celebrate in those things, and then we want it replicated. We want God to do it again. When we celebrate something, we better make sure we're celebrating the right things. We want to celebrate what God values. See, we replicate what you celebrate. See, the Lord's Supper, baptism, Sunday morning service, every one of those is an opportunity to declare freedom from sin. Every week we can come here, not as an obligation, but we can say, God, you have saved me. You have protected me. You have guided me. You have loved me. Every Sunday is a declaration of freedom. Every time someone is baptized, every time we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are celebrating the goodness of God. And we're asking God to do it again. Do it again, God. You saved somebody a couple Sundays ago, God. Do it again, God. Somebody followed you in believer's baptism, God. Do it again. We want to see it. God, somebody who's joined the church, we want to celebrate it. Do it again. Why? Because God values those things. And if God values those things, we need to value those things. Amen. Remembering God's past grace is necessary to fuel our faith in God's future grace for us. See, we must remember God's goodness and God's faithfulness. We must remember that for ourselves personally. This may be a sign among you. Look as I could our second point. Remember not just for ourselves, but for future generations. Specifically, look at verse 6 through 7. This may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Skip all the way down here to 14 with me. It says, on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests bearing the ark of the testimony, come out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come out of the Jordan. When the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on the dry ground, waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks before. Look at verse 19. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. They encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. The Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did the Red Sea. She dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. See, we don't just remember for ourselves, we remember God's faithfulness for future generations. You see, the people passed over the Jordan River. Some tribes were ready for war, as we see some of the previous verses that we skipped over, and that Joshua was exalted to be seen almost as Moses was seen, which is a huge deal because Moses was the man, right? I mean, Moses, the things that God used Moses to do, and so that the people were seeing Joshua anywhere in that same category is an amazing testament to what God can do. The priests were commanded and came out of the river, and the water returned. No turning back. No turning back, right? That's really what it means. When remember, the river was at flood stage. There was no swimming back. You were all in on God's plan at this point. When that water that had been held up by the mighty hand of God miles away crashed back down into his dangerous water to where it was before, there was no turning back. We were all in for God's plan. He said, put up these stones. These stones would be a memorial of what God had done for the children of Israel and for the nation. See, Israel left spiritual markers for the next generation. The question that I think this passage begs for us to listen to is, what kind of legacy are you leaving behind? What are we leaving for the next generation? Truth, values, they'll be passed on. Just make sure they're the right ones. I don't want to disciple people. I'm not ready to disciple. Well, you're discipling your kids. You're discipling your grandkids. You're discipling other people. It's just into what disciple are you turning them into? You're passing on truths. You're passing on values by the things you say, the things you do, and the things you don't say, and the things you don't do. We pass them on all the time. I was really excited about, there was a, in the place I'd served at before, there was a newer believer, and man, he was just all in for God. And man, that excites me so much, and he's still excited about what the Lord is doing in his life. And he had some little boys, and he recognized that as a father, it was his job to instill godly character in their lives. And he was telling that his boy was listening to the song on the radio, and, you know, we believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit, right? You got that one? And the son was, you know, listening to this and reflecting on that, and all earnestness, he said, Dad, well, what about the holy cow? And I just laughed and laughed, and I thought, you know what? That's part of the process. And I admired him for passing on biblical truth to his son. Leave behind love for others. A legacy of love for God's word. A legacy of love for the Lord. A legacy of love for the church. It's kind of a popular thing now to bash the church. You read it in articles and things all the time. Last I checked, the church was still the bride of Christ. Last I checked. I'm telling you, the church is not a perfect. No perfect people here. Amen?
Amen.
You'd have no place here if there was. Neither would I. But it's still God's church. We need to teach people to love God's people. Not perfect people, but God's people. Perfect people are not God's people. Love God's church. Leave behind a legacy of being supportive of what's happening in a church, what's happening in your children's lives. I know a lot of people, they leave behind a legacy of anger towards church music. They're known as being cantankerous, discouraging, complaining. People leave behind a legacy of love of money and things, and all of those are empty. You're going to leave behind a legacy. You're passing on values and truth. The question is, which ones are you passing down? In the next book of the Bible, we have Joshua and then we have Judges. And this is what it says in Judges 8:34. It says, and the people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God. They didn't remember him. And that's why it says in the earlier parts of Joshua, or sorry, in Judges, it said they did right, everyone did right what was in their own eyes. What was right to them, they did. And it was a time of great wickedness and evil and darkness in the time of Israel. I look at our nation, and people do what is right in their own eyes. Was right for me? Is right for me. You don't say it. God's word doesn't say it. God's people don't say it. Many people in this nation have forgotten. Oh. It's easy to abandon God and forget his promises when you are overly satisfied, when you have loved other suitors. Busyness, being distracted, disinterested. Just disinterestedness are all enemies of remembering. And every one of us struggle with those at different times and different ways. Just hear me on this. This is the last thing. Y'all with me?
Yes.
We're going to eat in a couple minutes. It's going to be good. There's no baptisms after this Sunday. Just going to go home. It's going to be nice. But listen here, church. Greatest gift we can give the next generation is a delight in God and His goodness. Give them Jesus. The greatest gift that you can pass on is not a 401k, is not a fancy car or a house. It is a delight in God. It's a delight in the goodness of God because your heart was tuned to love God. It's where you find joy and happiness and fulfillment and peace. I tell you, this is where you find God. This is where you find joy. Pass this on to your children and their children's children. Not just God and a concept of God, but a delight in God. A delight in God above all other things. Give them Jesus, who is the embodiment, who is God that we can wrap our arms around. Give them Jesus. See, God has been good to us. Amen? God has been good to us, church. God has been good to us individually. I mean, just think about it. Just think about this last week how God watched over my little fella, protected him from getting sick. Just one thing and a million things how God has protected and provided for me. Just think about this week how God has taken care of me. How he's provided for you. How he's comforted you. Oh, how good God has been to us. Think about how God has been good to this church. I mean, we're standing in a building that God has provided. Praise God for that. So many things God has given us. To celebrate baptism last week, I mean, don't get over that church. I mean, there are thousands of churches in our country every year that don't do that one time. We've baptized some in the past, and we've got more on the docket. Praise God for his faithfulness. Praise God for his goodness. You see, people of faith remember and they celebrate God's faithfulness. So as we move into the invitation time today, here's the challenge of God's word. It's simple. It's not complex. And I encourage you, in this time of invitation, in this week to remember and celebrate our great God. Just take a couple moments in your chair and just reflect on what God has done. Just reflect and thank God for where He saved you from and where you might have been apart from God's grace. Celebrate on who He is. Not just the things that He gives us, but celebrate who He is. How He's our healer, our provider, our protector. Celebrate who God is. How He's our sovereign Lord. He's in charge of all things. He is unchangeable. Just spend a couple moments thanking God and celebrating Him. I encourage you to carry that on into this week, to our lives. I encourage you to pass this legacy of love and celebration on to your next generation. It is God who will save our country, God who will save our families, and so pass on a delight to God Himself. Do you delight in God? Does your heart delight in our great God? Why are you here this morning will largely tell what your heart thinks about God. Friend, do you know God? Has there been a time in your life when you say, I've turned from my sin and I've trusted Christ as my Savior? That's what it means to be a Christian. All you have to do, no matter what your background, no matter what you've dealt with, is turn from your sin and trust that Jesus died in your place on the cross. That begins a wonderful process of delighting in God. If you haven't done that, and I believe in every service there's always somebody who doesn't know the Lord, that you would come forward when the music is playing and we start singing and you talk with me, or you fill out one of those cards in the chair, check the box that I want to trust Christ as my Savior. Leave it on your chair. We'll follow up with you. Learn to delight in God by knowing Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Well, thank you for your goodness. Oh, Lord, we could preach a thousand sermons of how good you are to us. Lord, you're good when things are tough. You're good when things are good. Forgive us when we forget. Somehow selfishly and foolishly think that we've done it. That we've raised ourselves up because always you. Help those who maybe don't know you here today, God, that they would trust you. They would enter in that relationship with you. Help us take a couple moments from our lives and our busy schedule to remember what you've done and who you are. We ask these things in Jesus' name.